That's right. Praise God. It's so great to see how many ways God is working in every situation through the healing of the healing of Rick's mom, as well as the healing of the family. You know, and it's just amazing to see how God works in every situation. So just keep your eyes open for those things. It's so good to hear that and to remind us, all the rest of us, to be looking for that. Now, today I have a briefer message because we have some celebrating to do today, and we're going to talk a little bit about one of God's commands. And I was just thinking about this as we're singing, as I'm getting ready to come up here and talk. It's amazing to me every time how when we talk about God's commands and God's laws, almost immediately the point of view we have on that is, oh, we got to follow God's laws, right? It's so hard to do what people command us to do. But the reality is, the thing that I love to point out, when you look at God's law, how freeing it is and how wonderful God's law is. We talked about that a couple times already this morning. We talked about our offering. You know, I always want to remind us that our offering is not some burden, an obligation, but rather an invitation from God to exhibit our faith in Him and to give Him thanks for His provision. It's supposed to be something that we celebrate. And that song that we just sang, The Heart of Worship, talks about apologizing to God for the thing that we've made it. We make our worship into something that we're supposed to do, right? And then that leads into attitudes that say, oh, do I have to go to church today? And when God's saying, have to, you get to come together and praise me, right? It ought to be a celebration. And that's what I want to focus on today. Did you know how much God commands, actually, celebration in His law? There are several celebrations that God mandated in His law to the Israelites that I want to highlight first of all. And you can read a list of these in Leviticus 23. Right? Leviticus is one of the books of the law. This is all when God was leading the Israelites out of the desert, He gave His law to Moses. When you really look at this law, it's filled with great things for the people who follow it. So Leviticus 23 lists out all of the celebrations that God commands His people to participate in. The first is a Sabbath. Every seventh day is a day to celebrate God's creation, celebrate the fact that there is a God, right? And to honor and praise Him. And then He talks about the Passover and the Feast of the Unleavened Bread. The Passover was an annual celebration beginning on twilight of the 14th day of the first month. And then on the 15th day, the next day, began the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And these are important celebrations to remember God's provision and God's love for the Israelites. And it becomes important significance for us as we relate Jesus to our Passover lamb. It's a celebration of God's grace for His people, that He will overlook our sin because at that time the sacrificial lamb took on the burden of their sin, and God passed over the Israelites when they put the blood on the lintels of their house. We get to celebrate the fact that Jesus took the guilt of our sins away from us. This is something to celebrate. The Feast of Unleavened Bread, they spent the next week, where are my notes? This next week eating unleavened bread, which celebrated their freedom from slavery, that God led them out of slavery in Egypt. And then there was the annual celebration of first fruits, which was an annual harvest festival, right? We do a harvest festival in October every year. God commanded a harvest festival, celebrating His provision as they brought in the crops. Then there was the Feast of Weeks, which is another festival celebrating the first fruits of the harvest of wheat, where the people brought in their grain and they sacrificed some of it to the Lord. But it was a celebration of thanksgiving to God for His ongoing provision. There's the Festival of the Trumpets, beginning in the seventh month of the year. Trumpets were blown at the beginning of the month, and called attention to the Lord in preparation for the next festival, which was the Day of Atonement. Now, the Day of Atonement was the only one of these celebrations that had a more serious tone to it. It was marked by a week of fasting and self-denial, remembering God's forgiveness, remembering to repent to the Lord. But even in that, that's a good thing, right? It's good for us to remember God's graciousness to us by acknowledging our sin and confessing it to the Lord. And then after the Day of Atonement was done, they had the Feast of the Tabernacles on the 15th day. Guess what they got to do? They got to go out into land and set up tents. They went camping together to celebrate how God led them through the desert and provided for them And this also was in the fall, another a festival of God's provision. And all of these ways, there was an important significance to every one of these events, something that called their attention to the Lord and what he did. But it was also a time for gathering together and celebrating together, being the Lord's people and celebrating what he had done. God commands us in these ways to do these things so that we can take joy in him and joy in being together. And this is what we're gathered together to do today. Every week we gather together as a celebration, but we have a special celebration going on today. So last week I mentioned that there are two regular celebrations that Jesus commanded his church in the New Testament. The first is one that we do every month, communion. We celebrate Jesus' sacrifice. We celebrate God's grace shown through that sacrifice. And the other one is baptism. Baptism is a joyful celebration of new life in Christ. Now I need to take a little bit of time to unpack what we understand biblically about baptism, because there are a few different ideas in our culture today about what baptism is and how it should be done. Depending on what kind of church background you have, you may have some different ideas. And we want to do our best to put our emphasis on God's word as our foundation. This is unchanging. And we want to do our best to set aside our own ideas and follow and put in practice what God has told us. And so we want to understand baptism from a biblical perspective. So I said that Jesus commanded baptism, first of all. And here's the command, Matthew 28:18-20, which is the Great Commission. This is God's command to his church. This is what we're all about. This is one of these passages that all of us should just have ingrained in us, because this is why we exist as a church. It says, then Jesus came to them. This was after his resurrection. He said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I commanded. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. So you see in there, Jesus actually, as part of our work of making disciples, he commanded baptism. So let's take a closer look at that command, right? First of all, we're to make disciples. Disciples, are dedicated followers of a person, someone who commits their life to submitting to a certain leader or teacher, submitting their will to that person that they're following. And this command to baptize means that there's something important about it to God. It's a celebration of something significant, as I mentioned earlier. And God wants us to put special focus on what's happening through baptism and take joy in what that means. So who is to be baptized? According to Jesus' command, every disciple of Jesus Christ. So everyone who has put their faith in the Lord Jesus as their Savior is commanded by Jesus to be baptized as part of the process of being a disciple. And I think this is something that tends to get overlooked. In our culture today, baptism often gets spoken of more as an option. It's like, well, if I feel ready for it, if I think I should do it, yes, I'll do it, right? But the reality is, no, this is something Jesus wants every disciple of Christ to do. Now, Jesus is not going to force people. We're not going to force people to do this. But it is important to see that Jesus wants this for us. And it's crazy to me, as I said in the beginning, how something that is so joy-filled, something that is supposed to be about a celebration, something that is so great and wonderful, often gets turned into an obligation. And when we have obligations, we're like, I don't know if I really want to do that. And God's desire for us gets twisted all around. I want you to see how this is something wonderful that God invites us into, and he wants every disciple of Christ to experience it for some very important reasons. And one of those reasons that I see is that it's an important first step of faith. Because it's one thing to say that you trust Jesus, right? To say it with your mouth. It's another thing to put that faith into action, follow up that statement. This is what James speaks about in chapter 2 of James. He says, what good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warm and be filled, without giving them the things that they need for the body, what good is that? So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. James makes a really important point here. We need to understand that faith in Christ is not something that demands you prove yourself, but it ought to be a faith that moves us to action. It changes the way we live. And by commanding baptism as one of those first steps, Jesus is inviting you to put your faith into action, to show that faith, to show how it's changed you. There's more to baptism than just that as well, though. Baptism is worth experiencing for yourself. And it's something that we all gain something from by witnessing when our brothers and sisters are baptized. So I always want to encourage us, when we do a baptism, for everyone to participate in it. Baptism through immersion in water creates a connection for you with Jesus' death and resurrection. It's a physical encounter that gives you a deeper understanding of the spiritual rebirth that you go through when you put your faith in Jesus Christ. Take a look at what Paul says about baptism in Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. He says, "What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We have died to sin. How can we live it in any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead, through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life." There's something significant about experiencing that baptism that helps you relate to the death and resurrection that Jesus submitted to for your sake. Being plunged beneath the water is symbolic of you dying to your old self. And then being raised up again is like being raised back up to new life, a new creation in Christ. That spiritual reality is there because you put your faith in Christ. But the physical act of baptism just creates a deeper connection, a deeper understanding for you. And it's something that'll be with you throughout your entire life. Something that you can look back on and be a reminder in those difficult times where you need hope in Christ, where you need to persevere through something. You can be reminded by that moment when you stepped out in faith and you were baptized, that you are a new person in Christ, that he is with you, and you can persevere all the more. Celebrating with others as they are baptized brings back the memory of your own baptism, can strengthen your faith and your commitment to Christ. And so, this is what we're going to celebrate tonight. We have at least three members of our church today who have expressed a desire to follow Jesus' command to be baptized. When we're done here today, after our closing song, I want to just ask you all to help us just move everything inside, get cleaned up right quick. And then we're actually going to go over to Hannah's Bend Park. This is different from what we've done in the past. Hannah's Bend has a nice area for us all to get close to the water and to walk in. If you don't know where Hannah's Bend is, do you know where the swimming pool is? Does everyone know where that is, by the way? Is anyone who doesn't know where we're going? Across from the fairgrounds. Just park in the swimming pool parking lot, right, and then walk across. So we're going to go over to Hannah's Bend Park, and we're going to baptize some people today. There's one more thing I want to address about this today, because in our culture, one of the things that holds people back is that they were baptized as babies, right? Many of us. I was myself, right? And you hear this message about baptism, and you're like, well, should I do it again? You know, how do I understand my baptism as a child? And I want to address that a little bit. I had to wrestle with this myself. So there are, of course, Christian churches that practice an infant baptism, and there are historical reasons behind that. And I'm not going to condemn that. In fact, I want to recognize that there's something good in that. That was something that your parents did for you. They felt that your faith was important. They wanted to instill in you early on a faith in Christ and a participation in the church. And it's something to honor them for. But when I look at the biblical command to be baptized, what I see in there is Jesus commands those who have put their faith in Christ to be baptized. So the baptism we're talking about and celebrating today is different than that. This is something that Jesus wants you to do for yourself once you have put your faith in Christ yourself. So if you've been baptized before, what we do here at the church, we do an infant dedication, which is the same meaning behind it. Parents want to dedicate their child to the Lord. They want them to grow up in their faith, right? That's the meaning of that. But we distinguish that from the kind of baptism that we see Jesus commanding. So I want to invite you, if you are at that moment today where you have put your faith in Christ and maybe you've thought about baptism, or maybe you've just never even realized it before, that today could be the day for you too, right? You don't have to wait for a special moment where we prearranged it. You're invited to join in the baptisms today if you're ready to follow Jesus' command. If you have put your faith in Christ, if you want to live for him, if you know that you are saved by faith in him, today could be your day as well. Just let me know ahead of time, okay? Pardon me? Or just walk into the water. That's fine, true, right? Sometimes you just need wait till the last moment. I don't want it just to be an emotional response because you want to experience the same thing everyone is, but it's a serious thing. But again, this is what Jesus wants for every disciple of Christ. So I'm going to stop right there. I think I've addressed it. This is what we're going to do today. I want to get to the celebration. So let's pray together. We're going to sing one more song, and then let's head on over to the river and celebrate the new life that we have in Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for the life that we have in you and through your Son. Lord, it is an amazing gift. I don't know if I'll ever completely understand it. I pray that you would help us all, Lord, to be transformed by our faith in you, to let our lives be a reflection of what you have done and who you are. Lord, let today's celebration be a reminder of that. And for those who are being baptized today, Lord, let this be a significant point in their life that they always look back on, where they exhibited their faith. They declared to this group of witnesses that they are a follower of Christ, and we are all participating in this together, Lord. Strengthen their faith today, Lord. Strengthen all of us. Continue to guide this church, Lord, into a deeper understanding of who you are. Continue to guide us into the works that you have for us, Lord. Let us make a significant difference in this community for you. We ask this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.